And welcome back to today's show. I'm your host and the coach, Mike Weemaden. As we're taking you back down memory lane and sharing with you a number of my past interviews with some of Major League Baseball players. You know, down through the years, it's been a great honor to have the opportunity to meet and talk and interview with a number of these ball players down through the years. And we reach back in our archives and we found some great interviews to share with you for today's show, leading off with my man Nick Swisher when he was with the Chicago White Sox, and then moving on to the New York Yankees with Ichiro when he was a member of the Yankees, and then going to one of the greatest pitchers in Major League Baseball history, Matt Scherzer, and then we're going to wrap the show up with Bronson Arroyo. So we got a great show lined up for you, so I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy this first one with my man, Nick Swisher. Now, Nick was a piece of work. The coach, Nick Swisher. No, by the way, his father used to play for the Chicago Cubs, so every time I see him, I ride him about the Cubs-Sox rivalry, about who his father going to cheer for, the Cubs or the Sox. So you sit back, relax, and enjoy Nick Swisher, because this guy is a real character on and off the field. Trust me, the coach.
You got to come down. Got to come down. A little down more. Yeah, right there. Yeah, yeah.
All right, you the tag man.
Now I can see it on the thing.
There you go. And welcome back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden, as I'm down on the field visiting with Nick Swilkins. As I'm back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Michael E. Maiden, as I'm down on the field visiting with Nick.
Come on, Coach.
As a visitor with Nick Swisher, Chicago White Sox outfielder. How we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Got ourselves in a wonderful position. It's going to be a lot of fun coming down the stretch.
Well, we're coming down the home stretch, and you got a game and a half lead, and all the experts had Cleveland and Detroit, and look like they're out of it right now.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, right now on the standings, Cleveland's 10.5, Detroit's 12.5, so I think there might be a handful of people around the country picked us to be where they are, but for everybody else that didn't pick us, you know, hey, we're standing here strong, and we're ready for this challenge up ahead.
Well, you guys been on a power surge lately, especially you. What's up with the home runs?
It's been a lot of fun, man, and I think, you know, I mean, home runs anymore in this day and age is a lot more fun for the fans and this and that, and we got a bunch of guys on this team that can hit the long ball, and yeah, we've done a tremendous job. I mean, as much as we'd like to think most of our runs haven't scored off the home run, they really have, you know, and that's a big part of our game. And I don't know. I mean, with Quinton going down, you know, we're just going to all have to pull together as a team and do this thing.
You know, we got a lot of youngsters that watch our show, about 3 million, actually.
Yeah.
And they all have that dream of playing in the big leagues. How much pressure is it at this point in time to be in the big leagues and in playoff contention?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, you know, I'm one of those guys that I have fun every day. It's hard to put pressure on me. I think, you know, as not only as a kid, but coming up through the system and making my way here, I don't think anyone put more pressure on myself than I did. And I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, every day I get to go out on this beautiful piece of grass and play my game. And, you know, the big man upstairs blessed me to play this. Could not be more happy with the opportunity I've been given. And, you know, I don't want to be 50 years old sitting on a rocking chair wishing I would have done something. So, you know, I want to go out there, have fun, and be the best I can every day.
And to that young baseball player out there that's watching this show, you know, as I, you know, having been a major league scout and coach college ball, I know it's all about getting opportunity, right place, right time. When would you say you got your opportunity?
I don't know. You know, I think in 2004, coming up with AAA, you know, that was my shot. As a matter of fact, Jermaine Dye went down with a, I think he broke his thumb or his finger, and that was my time to shine. And I think the biggest thing about it is those opportunities don't come along very often. Your window of opportunity is so little. So once you get that chance, you got to do everything in your power to do the best you can, because you never know when that opportunity is going to come again.
So to that young high school baseball player out there, what would you tell him to do to get himself exposure?
Well, I think the biggest thing is hard work. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you're blessed with a talent, you know, people will find you. I think that, you know, anymore kind of seems like nowadays that work ethic's kind of been thrown out the window. A lot of people think a lot of things would be given to them. In this game, and I think life in general, things are not given to you. You go out there and take them. So every opportunity you get, in my mind, I would tell you to go take those opportunities, make the best of them, and make a name for yourself.
And I'm going to ask you just one last question, because I know you got a team meeting and Ozzy don't like you late.
Yeah.
So Cubs in first place, Sox in first place. We're gearing up for a Cubs-Sox World Series. Now, I know your father played for the Cubs.
Yeah,
you with
exactly.
the Sox.
Yep.
Now, who are we going to be rooting for?
Wow. He better be rooting for me. I know that. So, Dad, if you watch this, you better be rooting for us. I know that.
All right, Dad. Well, we got you on that Cubs Sox series. We're going to interview Dad next. Coach with Nick Swisher.
All right, Coach. Thanks, bud. All right, man. Y'all take
Now, that was my first interview with Nick Swisher, my very first one. And I got to know Swish through the years, and he's a character. He's a real character, but he's a great guy. As I must remind you that we got at least two or three future Hall of Famers in this interview. So I want you to really sit back and enjoy as we're interviewing potential Hall of Famers in Ichiro, who definitely will be a future Hall of Famer, and Matt Scherzer will be a future Hall of Famer. So the coach is really out there doing it and bringing it to you live. There are pitchers and there's pitchers. And what distinguishes a pitcher from a pitcher is when you can put a pitcher out there on the mound and he's in total control of the ball game. And as a coach and a manager, you can sit in that dugout and know you go be in the ball game for the whole game. So this one is Matt Scherzer talking about his career as a professional baseball player. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview. Welcome back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Mike Reed Maiden, as we're on the road today, taking you youngsters behind the scenes, and we got the man, Max Scherzer. Did I get it right?
Yep, Max Scherzer.
All right. How we doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Just fine. And we're taking our youngsters behind the scenes on what it's like being a Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I've always told kids the biggest and the quickest way to the big leagues is pitching.
That's one way.
So how does this thing work out for you?
Pitching's tough. You might think it's an easy path to the big leagues, but it's really tough to get here. Pitching's the same. It looks the same no matter what level you are at. You have to throw strikes. You have to throw strikes repeatedly, and you got to keep throwing strikes. One thing I had my hang on is that, first pitch strikes. I'm always attacking the hitters. I'm always working ahead in the counts. That I'm going to be in a 1-2 count versus a 2-1 count. When you buy into that approach, that you're relentlessly going to be ahead of the hitter, that's when you start seeing a lot of success. And then obviously you get to the next level, then you got to start using more pitches to be able to get and have that.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy on how I go about my business.
Well, you're saying pitching tough, but, I'm looking back and you took that hardware home now. Cy Young, couldn't have been that tough for you anyway.
That's tough. That hardware is hard to come by. There's so many great arms in this game, and, it's really fun to sit here on the bench and watch everybody else pitch just because of what everybody else is able to accomplish. So for me to be able to take home that award, I'm so humble and blessed because I know how many so many great arms are in this league.
How much of an honor was it for you?
Oh, so much. You do something like that where you're able to win a Cy Young, and first and foremost, I got to thank my teammates. I was 21-3, a lot of reasons because of them.
21-3, okay. Go ahead and brag a little bit.
21-3. I'm telling you, that was my personal record, but that was because of my teammates. And then, they fought every day I came to the yard, and they played so hard behind me and played such great defense that I really got to give them a ton of credit for what they were able to do. I just went out there and did my job, and we were able to have a great season together, and I was able to take home some hardware. So by winning that what it meant to me is, there's a part of history, and you look back at the history of game of, arms that won that award. You're talking Sandy Koufax, you're talking you're talking some of these greatest players that have ever played the game, and it's real humbling to win an award that's what some of those guys achieved.
So that puts you in that elite club, huh?
My name mentioned among some of the greats today, and and obviously with some of the others who have won the Cy Young Award, it's such an honor to me. I'm so humbled by it. It hasn't changed me one bit because I go out there and do the same thing, but man, is it awesome.
Well, somebody to stop this interview and get your autograph. I'm hanging out with the beach. So, when I coached high school and college baseball, I always emphasize to my pitchers, there's a difference in a pitcher and a pitcher. You go out there and just take control of a ball game. Or let me rephrase that. A pitcher, somebody, as a coach, you sit on the bench and you sweat bricks and hope you win the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
A pitcher is somebody you put on the mound and you know you're going to be in the ball game no matter what.
Yeah, I think a thrower versus a pitcher. That's somebody who throws just, they don't have an idea. They don't have a plan. They can really maybe only throw a fastball. A pitcher is somebody who can, pitch with multiple pitches, can change speeds, can do things differently. can locate, can put the ball in the zone when they need to, and it can also put the ball out of the zone when they need to, especially in, you know, two strike counts. So, you know, there's so much, you know, pitching's an art.
Yeah.
And that's when you see pitching at its greatest, when you see somebody you can really paint, you know, paint art out there.
And you got to have that mindset, a different mindset from a high school pitcher to a college pitcher to a professional pitcher. I mean, how did you develop yourself into those different stages?
You know, really the mindset's always been the same, and that's always been a high adrenaline. I've always been a high adrenaline pitcher. You know, I'm always carrying that, you know, energy around and wanting to be aggressive, and it was just refining it and knowing what I needed to refine it towards and what I need to be focusing on so that I can pitch my best. And that's the refinement from the high school to the college to the minors to the pros, is just refining on what I need to focus on and what I need to be, what my game plan needs to be every time I go out there. So, you know, for me, that's one of the things that I've learned over the years.
All right, let me ask you these last two questions. I don't want to hold you too long. When you think about this game and the steps that you had to get to this game, what would you give in exchange for this opportunity?
What would you
give in exchange for this opportunity to be a professional baseball?
Oh man, this is the greatest job in the world. This is my dream. Uh-huh. This is absolutely my dream. Even when I was a little kid, I said I want to grow up and be a pitcher in the major leagues. You know, I want to play. Actually, I want to be shortstop. I love Ozzie Smith. I
want
to be.
You wanted to hit. That's what it was.
I grew up. I loved Ozzie Smith. He was my favorite player. So I want to be like Ozzie. That was my dream. But, you know, I guess I'll have to settle for this pitching gig that I got going on where, you know, I get to go out and face the best teams in the league.
And win 20 games, 20-plus games.
Win 20 games, yes. That's a major feat, and, you know, I can only do that here in Detroit.
All right, let me take you back to that very first time you walked in the locker room and saw your uniform hanging up after
yep.
you got the call. What was that feeling like?
Oh, there's just absolutely nothing like it. It was in San Diego.
Uh-huh. You remember the date and time, huh?
I think it was around the April 25th.
Uh-oh.
So about we're really
Uh-oh.
Close to my 7th year birthday in the bigs.
Okay.
And I remember I flew in that morning. We had it was like I think it was a Saturday because we had like a 4 o'clock game. And I got to the park, and there it is. And you see my jersey, number 39. You know, with there, I was dying back at that point. You know, 39 jerseys are on the back right there. And my first game I got to watch, I was Brandon Webb versus Jake Peavy.
Uh-oh, you didn't look at all.
They finished 1-2 in the Cy Young. I always say that's one of my best pitching matchups I've ever seen in the big leagues. My first day. So, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Did you pinch yourself?
I didn't pitch my in that first game. I debuted a few days later.
Coach said you youngsters behind the scenes with the man, Max Scherzer. Did I get it right?
Max
Coach
Scherzer.
Good at,
there we go.
Coach Good at butchering names. Y'all know that. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
A blast from the past. Classic Major League Baseball player interviews with the coach. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
And now we're going to switch over from Nick Switcher, and we're going to take you into this interview with Ichiro, one of the greatest hitters in the game.
The coach is on the road taking youngsters behind the scenes, talking baseball, baseball, baseball with the major leagues, and I found the man himself, Ichiro. Now, you know, you've been a fixture in Major League Baseball as one of the premier hitters. I mean, what do you attribute to your success for those youngsters out there?
若い子たちにどうやってイチローさんがここまですごい選手になれたかっていうのを教えてくれて、いや、僕はすごい選手かどうか僕は分からないし、ただ野球選手っていうのは野球の技術だけを磨いていればいいということではなくて、やっぱり野球を通して人間を作っていくっていう、そういう価値観はすごく大事だと思ってます。
You know, I don't know if you can say that I'm a successful star, but you know, what I can say to the youngsters is that it's not just about the skills that you know, I know you practice and you get better at what you do in baseball, but while you're playing baseball, you know, that's when you become a better person, and that's when you start, you know, becoming a person of a good person. And so that's just something that you could focus on while you're playing baseball.
So what has this experience been for you being a Major League Baseball player?
まあ経験っていうのは一郎さんにとってどういう経験ですか？それが本当に分かるのは僕が
まあ、野球を終えて、少し時間が経ってからということになると思いますけれども、まあ、こうやってまあ、野球の世界でもう最高のステージで、まあ、日々こうやってグラウンドに立つということは、で、まあ、たくさん の人の前で、まあ、プレーをするということは、まあ、おそらく、まあ、僕の人生にとって、まあ、少なくともこの12年がとてもその重要な時間になっているということは間違いないと思います。
You know, I think when I look back after I'm retired and maybe it's been a few years, I can really look back and say, hey, this was what it was like to be a major leaguer. But you know, every day I'm on a stage here, biggest stage in baseball, in front of thousands and thousands of fans. You know, I think I'll be able to say that, you know, I played 12 years now. These are the great 2 years that I've been able to experience, and I think I'll be able to definitely say that.
When you look at the stage that you portray back at home, what does that mean to you? You're a role model. You're a hero in your home country.
それに関してイチローさんどう思ってますか。それは僕自身は分からないです。
僕は実際アメリカで毎日プレーしていますし、まあ、日本からどういうその視線が送られているのかというのは、まあ、想像はできますけれども、実際にそのどうなのかということは全く分からないですよね。なので、まあまあ、人がどう思うか、どう見てくれているとかっていうのはあくまでも人の評価なので、まあ、常にそれは動くもの、評価、人の評価というのは常に動くものなので、それよりもやはり自分が日々できることを前に進むために、自分自身のためにやるということが何よりも大事なことだというふうに思っています。
You know, I'm here in the States playing baseball, and I really don't know, you know, what fans are thinking or what they're saying, but you know, obviously the fans and also the media, they are always, you know, saying that, you know, a certain player is this or that, and that always changes with the way you perform. And so as a player, what's important is that you go out there every day and you perform to the best of your abilities. And so as a player, you can't really worry about that. You just have to be prepared and be able to perform to the best of that you can while you prepare.
Last question. Should we look each other in Hall of Fame one day?
まあ、それは人が決めることなので、僕はもう全くわからないですし、まあ、でもそうやって聞いてもらえること自体が僕はすごく幸せなことだというふうに思っています。
You know, obviously, I can't decide that, and you know, somebody else's decision. But you know, just to be even mentioned, like asking me that question, it definitely makes me happy, and is an honor.
Coach on the road with the great Ichiro.
All right, appreciate it.
Talk to me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden, a blast from the past, as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews that include past and present Major League Baseball players. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
We want you to remember to tune us in on our podcast. We got a podcast, so just type in the coach name on the podcast and you'll get a ton of interviews that's going to be coming up and have been posted. So don't miss the coach as he's doing it on TV, he's doing it on radio, and now the coach is doing it on podcasts with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. Well, then there is none other than Bronson Arroyo, one of Major League Baseball great pitchers of the day, and we want to share with you this interview that we did. We got the man here, Bronson Arroyo. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
All right, you know, the coach good at butchering names. Well, we're taking our youngsters behind the scenes of what it's like being a major league player. So let's talk about Mr. Arroyo. What has this experience been like for you?
Well, it's been a long time, and we actually, we've got a young guy pitching on tomorrow, Mother's Day, making his major league debut, Chase Anderson, and so it kind of took me back to my my rookie year, just talking to him a bit about what he was going to feel out on the mound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a long time, but it's gone by quick. It's been fun. It's, you know, being a Major League Baseball player, it's probably different for every guy. For me, it's been enjoyable to come to the park every day. It's never turned into a grind for me because I it's a different game every night. Sometimes it's a 2-1 game. It's a quick. Sometimes it's a 4-hour extra innings, 9-8, you know, battle. And, you know, it's coming to work every day and doing something that you enjoy, which is very hard to find in life. And so coming here and playing against guys when I was young that I had watched on TV as a kid was amazing. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm kind of one of the older guys in the league, it's nice to see a whole another generation coming up and seeing how the game has evolved over the years.
So do these younger guys call you Grimes in the locker room?
Yeah, they do sometimes. On this team, I just got here, so they're not that comfortable to call me that yet. But back in Cincinnati, where I was there for 8 years with the Reds, Mike Leake and Matt Latos used to ride me pretty hard. They used to call me Grandpa, yeah. But I said, all right, guys, y'all are 26 now. I said, when I retire, I'm going to come back here. I'm going to be cleaning the uniforms with the clubhouse guys, and we're going to see if y'all are still pitching at 37. So, yeah, it's fun sometimes. So,
man, you know, what do you do to sustain yourself in the big leagues? A lot of kids just think you guys just show up at a ballpark, and that's it. What do you guys have to do? What do you specifically have to do to sustain yourself?
Yeah, you know, I've played since 1995 professional baseball in the minor leagues and then in the big leagues for the last 12 or 14 years.
I'm gonna call you Grandpa too for his own way.
Right. And so, and I've never missed a start, you know, which is very rare in the game. And what it takes is just paying attention to details. It's having a specific program that you want to take your body through. You know, for me being a starting pitcher, I pitch every fifth day. Mm-hmm. So the 4 days in between are super important about my preparation, whether it's a massage, whether it's the food you're eating, the sleep you're getting at night, how much you're throwing, you're playing long toss, when you get your bullpen in, and all the different workouts. You're getting a good squat workout one day. Whatever you build your program to be to feel good on day five and stay healthy is what you need to do. And it really is, if you want to play the game at this level, it really encompasses your entire life. You know, the off season is 4 months long, and I probably get 3 weeks off, and that's about it. And then we're right back in the weight room, and we're playing catch. And it's just something, you know, if you want to play the game for a long time and you want your body to sustain a 162-game schedule, which is very difficult, you just have to take it serious, and it has to become pretty much your entire life, you know. I don't get many days to just, you know, go hang out with my friends at the beach and do different things because you're constantly worried about calories and what it is that you're going to need in the future.
Well, you know, most kids watching the show, they think you guys big leaguers, y'all getting paid, it's partying, women,
right,
and living a high life.
Yeah, well, I think there's a time and place for everything. You know, I mean, I do enjoy getting out every once in a while. I mean, uh-huh. you get to go to see some other sporting events, a hockey game, or you go watch a movie, or you might go out to a bar and hang out with some of your friends that are in town visiting, whatever. But there's a time and place for everything, you know. And if I'm not pitching from 4 days from now, I might be able to be out the night before. But 2 days before I start, I'm not out at all. You know, I'm resting in my room, and I'm making sure that I've got protein there, and I've got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I made, in the clubhouse before I left, and just paying attention to those things, you know. And if you want your career to last a long time, you have to do that. You know, I've played with plenty of guys that I've watched, you know, sadly have a very shortened career in comparison to the talent they had in this game. And also, that also goes to taking care of your money and different things. You know, I've seen so many guys make millions of dollars in this game and end up broke before they were the age of 40, and it's very sad. So, you know, we do come to the ballpark early. You're probably here at 2 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. Most people don't know we're here for 4 and 5 hours before the game preparing. You know, right now I've got a heat pack on my back. I'm about to go get stretched. There's a whole routine of things you're going through every day. We just don't show up at the park at 6 o'clock, put on the uniform, and play. You know, if it was that easy, then everybody would do it, you know. But it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of dedication. This is, you have to be serious about this game. You know, when you're younger, you can take it a little less serious. You know, a lot of times your talent will take you through. But as you start moving up the ladder and you start playing college ball at a Division I level, and you get in the minor leagues and you get into the major league levels, everybody has talent here. And what's going to separate you from some other guys is going to be the ability to make adjustments on the fly and really mentally and emotionally be able to withstand the failures in this game and to be able to bounce back and continue to be consistent.
Let me ask you these last two questions. I know you got to get ready for tonight's ball game. Now, I used to coach college baseball. I scouted for 5 major league teams. I've always told my pitchers that there was a difference between a pitcher and a pitcher. I mean, at what point did you define yourself to distinguish yourself as a money pitcher, as we call it?
Right. Yeah, I think for me it was a little bit it was a more of a natural progression than maybe some other guys, because I never had power stuff as a kid, and so maybe at the high school level, you know, I was throwing about 86 to 90 on a good day when I was a senior in high school, which was pretty overpowering for high school hitters. But I never was a guy who was throwing 94, 95 through the minor leagues. So by the time I got into the Pirate organization at age 18, I realized really quickly that I was going to have to command the baseball and I was going to have to change speeds. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, I had done that as a kid, and I had some sort of feel of the game. And, you know, a lot of guys, if you're really talented and gifted from birth and you throw 94, 95, 96 miles an hour, a lot of times they don't look for those other options. They don't look for the command. They don't look for change of speed. They don't look for being able to throw a breaking ball at different velocities or different angles. And so sometimes when those guys go from 96 and they get a little bit older now, or they get injured and they're throwing only 90 miles an hour, they find themselves in a position that it's very difficult to get hitters out because they have no other outlet to go to other than what they had before, which was velocity. So for me, becoming a pitcher and somebody who has been a craftsman and be able to do some things in the game that haven't been as easy for other guys was a slow process. You pick up different pitches along the way. You find out what works, what doesn't work. You've got to make yourself successful in some way to be valuable to your organization, to your ball team. And so along the way, you know, the pitcher that I am today was nothing of what I was in 1995.
Yeah.
You know, it was a slow evolution of figuring out what would work and what wouldn't work.
Now let me take you back to that day when you got the call that you made it to the big leagues. You walked in that locker room for the first time and saw your uniform hanging up. What was that feeling like?
Yeah, that was a crazy day, man. It's definitely something no one will forget. You know, I was we were in Colorado Springs in AAA. I was supposed to start that day. Mm-hmm. That was the Rockies AAA ball club. Mm-hmm. Richie Hebner, who was a longtime player for the 20-year career for the Pittsburgh Pirates, was my manager. Okay. And he calls me into the office and he says, "I got good news and I got bad news for you." He said, "Which one you want first?" And I said, I'll take the bad news." And he said, "The bad news is you're not pitching today." Uh-huh. He said, "The good news is you're going to pitch on Wednesday against the Braves in Pittsburgh." And so, that moment right there was completely awe-inspiring, just to know that, you throw a tennis ball against a wall since you're a five-year-old kid and dreamed of pitching in the major leagues. And so I get called up, I fly to Pittsburgh, I walk into that locker room, and we had a rain delay.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, you see your uniform for the first time with your name on the back for the first time, and it's just completely, you don't know how to describe it at the time, you know, and so we don't have batting practice that day because it's raining, and so there's a funny story. I'm putting my uniform on, I'm putting some cleats on, I'm putting spikes on, and one of our other pitchers named Jimmy Anderson, he says, "Hey man, why are you putting spikes on?" I said, "Well, I've been pinch hitting and pinch running a lot in AAA," and he said, "Ain't nobody going to pinch hit here in a big league, man." He said, "Take them things off and put some tennis shoes on." I said, "Okay." So I put tennis shoes on, so I'm sitting down on the bench, we're playing the Atlanta Braves, I'm looking over, I see Tom Glavine, I see Greg Maddux, you know, all these guys I'd watched as a kid. And all of a sudden, third inning comes, and they say, "Arroyo, we want you on deck." And I say, "On deck? What do you mean?" They said, "We need you to hit." And I said, I got tennis shoes on. I said, "Don't worry about it. Go hit, man." So I go up, and I make my major league debut as a hitter, which is the first time it had happened in 70 years. And so it's weird, but I made my MLB debut against Bruce Chen, hit a ground ball back to him on a full count, and then I started the next day against the Braves. And, to this day, you still remember those feelings of being out on the mound the first time and being in a ballpark where you look and the stands are all the way around you, not just behind home plate. Yeah. And it's a special feeling, and it does fade over time. You know, you're here in the big league level for such a long time that it becomes more, you're not looking over and saying, "Oh, there's Mark McGwire, there's Barry Bonds. Wow, it's amazing to be pitching to these guys." And, you know, eventually you say, like, you know, "I just want to get these guys out," and it becomes a battle. But it's been a good ride.
Coach Sidney Youngs is behind the scenes with the man, Bronson Arroyo. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
A Blast from the Past, Classic Major League Baseball Player Interviews with the coach. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
We want you to remember to tune us in on our podcast. We got a podcast, so just type in the coach name under podcast, and you'll get a ton of interviews that's going to be coming up and have been posted. So don't miss the coach as he's doing it on TV, he's doing it on radio, and now the coach is doing it on podcasts with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. And make sure you tune into our next show.